We've made it to the last of Jesus' Beatitudes. And in this study, Jesus has challenged us in many ways. These teachings are personal. Jesus is doing more than stepping on our toes. He's reaching for our hearts. These teachings are piercing because they get to the heart of how we live. If we are serious about Christ, these Beatitudes are going to have an impact on us. These teachings should describe us, including this last one. Start with me in Matthew 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." At first, this last beatitude seems to be different from all the others. The other beatitudes are characteristics of a Christian, while this one is a picture of what a Christian will face. A closer look reveals that it actually isn't different, because it is still an account and description of the Christian. Don't miss that from these lessons. From the Sermon on the Mount, these Beatitudes one by one should describe our life. A Christian is persecuted because of who they are and how they live. Jesus is telling us, and he's telling all of these people who are gathered here to listen to him, this is what will happen if you follow me. This is what your life is going to consist of, what it will look like if you follow me. We wrestle with big questions in life. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What should my life look like? What should I pursue as a profession? Jesus answers a lot of those questions right here in the Beatitudes. He shows us who we are, what we should be like, what our lives should consist of. This teaching from Christ, it follows his reference to the peacemaker. We looked at being a peacemaker, how we can be different by seeking peace. In a sense, Jesus is telling us that a Christian is going to be persecuted because they are peacemakers. Just as they are persecuted for hungering and thirsting after righteousness. This life is a different life. If you are different in this world, you're going to stand out and you're going to face some persecution. This provides tremendous insight into the life that we are called to live. I do not think that you will ever find the biblical doctrines of sin and the world put more perfectly or precisely anywhere in Scripture than in these two Beatitudes back to back. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. These two teachings go hand in hand. In essence, verse 9 leads us into verse 10. One leads in the direction of the other. The promise found in this teaching, it brings us full circle. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but as we come to the conclusion of the Beatitudes, we come back to the same promise as what we saw in the first one. The first Beatitude begins with this promise of the kingdom of heaven, and the last Beatitude culminates with this same promise. You start with the kingdom of heaven, and you end with the kingdom of heaven. That's not coincidental. We should be able to describe our life that way. Our life begins with heaven. That's what we're about. It ends with heaven. That's where we want to go. And then everything in between, the life that we're living, the dash, if you will, in between the day we're born and the day we die, that is filled up with living for Christ, living this life. You start with the kingdom of heaven, and you end with it. Jesus, he started and ended with this particular promise to impress upon us that the most important thing in life is heaven. It's God's kingdom. What do you think was the most important thing in the minds and hearts of Jesus' live audience? The people who were there in person, what do you think was most important to them? What would they have identified as the priority above everything else? I'm sure many of them would have said, "We want to be free. We don't want to be oppressed by Rome anymore. We want to have what we used to have back when Solomon was reigning over Israel. That's what we want." Some of them may have said, "We just want better health. We want better jobs. We want more money." Do you think any of them would have said, "Our priority is God. It's His kingdom"? I believe most of these people were more concerned about restoring their own kingdom than they were about elevating God's kingdom in their life. It's a question that we have to answer as well. It's a question we must ask ourselves: what is the most important thing in our lives? Out of everything in life, there is something that rises to the top. I don't know if you heard about the recent spelling bee where there were 8 winners. There's not 8 winners. Come up with some new words. Let's go to a different language. Just kind of shows how society is right now. I can come up with some words for you to spell. Let's keep going. There has to be something that rises to the top. In our lives, there's going to be something that rises to the top. We can't have 8 winners. We can't have 8 things that are up here at the top that are tied for prominence in our life. There has to be some things that win, some things that lose. There has to be things that are above other things. And there has to be a number one. There is something in our life that is a higher priority than anything else. Jesus tells us that there's one priority worth pursuing above everything else. In one particular parable, he described the kingdom of heaven as a man looking for one pearl of great price. And when he came across this pearl, I don't know how long he had searched. Jesus didn't tell us, but it seemed to be his mission. It's what he was living for. Every day, I'm going to go out. I'm trying to find this pearl. I'm trying to find this pearl that's more valuable than anything else. And one day, he found it. He came across it. The search that had taken up so much time, so much energy. Here it is. What did he do? He sold everything and he bought it because it was more valuable than anything else. Everyone has a pearl. You have a pearl. Some people are like the preacher in Ecclesiastes, where the pearl is constantly changing and never satisfying. Maybe that describes your life. As you've gone through life, the pearl has changed from different things. It was a college degree, then it was a job, then it was a family, then it was money, then it was position. The pearl just seems to bounce around to all of these things, and it never really satisfies because it's not the real pearl. It's not the true pearl. Some are like Demas, who have given up the real pearl for a dive back into the world. Some are like the rich young ruler who can't see the true pearl because of all their money and possessions. The kingdom of heaven is what matters. It's the only priority. It's the pearl. Once again, we're confronted with a huge test by our teacher. This teaching is part of the description of the Christian just as much as being pure in heart, just as much as being peacemakers, just as much as hungering and thirsting after righteousness, just as much as being merciful. This is one of the characteristics of the Christian existence. The most important thing to notice is who receives the blessing. Who is blessed? With each of these Beatitudes, Jesus lays out this characteristic, this quality, this something that we need to have. And then to that he attaches a blessing. We should pay special attention to the phrase, for righteousness' sake. It does not merely say, blessed are those who have been persecuted. That's not what Jesus says. That's not the complete sentence. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Do you realize how relevant this statement is for us today? Jesus spoke these words in the first century. They were certainly relevant then, but they're also relevant right now. They're relevant today. There is more persecution of Christians today, some would say, than there has been since the first century. There are Christian people, even as we speak here today, who are being actively and bitterly persecuted. We've made a more concerted effort to keep all of us updated on our mission works across the world. We support people in Haiti, Nigeria, India, who are suffering greatly for the cause of Christ. Following Jesus will always have that result. Following Jesus will always result in us facing persecution. Now let's dig into this for just a moment. Let's start by describing what it doesn't mean. There are many things that can bring persecution into our lives. Jesus is only focused on one. We could make a list of different ways that we have been persecuted. Notice what the promise is not attached to. It's not attached to being difficult. Many people suffer simply because they are difficult people. I've come across people in the Lord's church who are difficult people, and they suffer. And not only do they suffer, the people around them suffer. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Don't be difficult and say, I'm suffering persecution, and in some way elevate your godliness. That's not what Jesus is talking about. It's not attached to suffering because we lack wisdom. If I had one category where I've suffered the most, this would probably be it, where I've just done dumb stuff. I have been persecuted. I have endured some suffering because I have done some dumb stuff. That's not what Jesus is talking about. A lot of people suffer because of foolish choices. It's not attached to suffering because we are fanatical. Jesus didn't call us to be fanatical. He called us to be faithful. The blessing is not attached to those who suffer for some social or political cause. In our society today, we have people who are trying to elevate certain social causes and in some ways may endure persecution, and they try to attach it to being godly. That's not what Jesus is talking about. The blessing is promised to one group of people, those who are being persecuted for living right, for the sake of righteousness. What will this look like for us? Being righteous, practicing righteousness, it means being like Christ, doesn't it? I don't think we can describe it any other way. I don't think we can describe it any better. Those who are like Jesus will face persecution. You don't have to travel to Nigeria or Haiti or India to suffer for the cause of Christ. You don't have to travel to one of these distant countries to follow after Jesus. If you follow Jesus right here, right now, you will face persecution. It's not as though we're on a mission to be persecuted We're not going out trying to find persecution. We're not some adrenaline junkie base jumping off 300-foot cliffs. We just want to be like Christ. We want to be like Jesus. We want to live like him and serve like him and love like him. We want to treat others the way he did. We want to be like him in every way that we possibly can. Even when it means, now notice I don't say if, even when it means facing persecution. The apostles didn't go everywhere in the first century preaching the gospel so that they could be persecuted. When you read about Peter and John in the early part of Acts going everywhere, enduring persecution throughout Jerusalem, they didn't do that just so they could be thrown in prison. They didn't talk about Jesus just so they could be beaten. They preached the gospel because they loved Jesus and they wanted to be like him, and they kept doing it even when it meant suffering in all of those ways. This is how Jesus describes our situation. A couple of verses I want you to look at. Again, it's Jesus who is speaking. In Luke 6, verse 40, a pupil, that's us, we're the students, is not above his teacher, that would be Christ, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Anytime I think about training, my thoughts go to the Rocky movies. I don't know why. I guess I'm just a child of the 80s. But I think about those training scenes that have been revised in the Creed movies, the effort, the unorthodox methods of getting ready for a fight. A lot of work, even though it's Hollywood, a lot of work, a lot of effort goes into getting ready to box. Following after Jesus, it takes work. It takes effort. We have to be fully trained. We have to put in the time. We have to put in the effort. We have to be disciplined. But we're getting ready to do something way more important than some athletic event. We're getting ready to follow Christ. It's going to be the most difficult thing you ever do. And our mission is to be just like Jesus. Here in John 15, verse 20, these words may even be more piercing. Remember the word that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Do you see the ramifications of all of this for us? This is why this beatitude has to be the most searching out of all of them. Because there comes a question that we can't dodge, we can't avoid. When you look at Jesus' words in Luke 6, when you look at what he says in John 15, when you listen to him here in the Sermon on the Mount, here's the question you have to answer. Are you suffering persecution for the sake of righteousness? Jesus makes it clear. If we take him serious, if we are truly following after him, then in some way or another, we're going to be persecuted. That's the teaching. And we see it on display throughout the Bible. Abel was persecuted by his brother Cain. Why? Abel made a righteous sacrifice. Cain did not. And that led to envy. It led to jealousy. It led to murder. Abel was persecuted. Moses received grievous persecution from Israel. They're grumbling. They're mumbling. The rebellion. Why? Because Moses was following God to the best he could. Look at the way in which David was persecuted by Saul. David, this man after God's own heart, he faced persecution because of how he lived. Take a gander at the terrible persecutions of Elijah and Jeremiah. Why did they suffer? These men who were talking to Israel, talking to Judah, they suffered because they were trying to live right. Do you remember the story of Daniel? How he was persecuted? Why? Because he prayed. Because he was trying to live right. These are some of the outstanding people of the Old Testament. And every one of them verifies what Jesus teaches in Matthew 5. Now this week at VBS, we're talking about Jonah. Can you see how those individuals stand out in contrast to someone like Jonah? Jonah suffered. But Jonah's suffering was brought about because of his own poor choices, because of his inability to follow God and obey him. In the New Testament, we find the same pictures. Think of the apostles, the persecution they endured. I wonder whether any man has suffered more for the cause of Christ than the apostle Paul. Even from the time that he was called to follow after Jesus, here in Acts chapter 9, when Ananias is sent to reach out to Saul at this time, the promise that Jesus lays out here is fulfilled over and over again in the life of Paul. The Lord says to Ananias, go. I need you to go and talk to Saul, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Towards the end of his life, he writes to Timothy, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He had known it. He had experienced it. Living for Christ does not mean life will be without struggle. Saw a story last week. Some big evangelist who is being questioned on a jet purchase, and how he tried to explain his lifestyle. And he couldn't. He couldn't. If you follow Christ, you're going to suffer. From the beginning, the Lord laid out Paul's path. He had indeed suffered much. Acts records some of the mistreatment. It was just a fraction of what Paul endured. He suffered physically, he suffered emotionally. He suffered for the sake of righteousness. All of these stories from the Bible, these stories that just pour out from the Old Testament and the New Testament, people who lived for Christ, people who followed God, and they suffered because of it. This is what this is going to mean for you. It's what it's going to mean for me. If you live right. Now listen to me. If you live right, you will face persecution. Do the right thing. You're going to suffer because of it. We don't have to bring attention to ourselves. All we have to do is do the right thing. These Beatitudes are about life. Jesus is showing us the right way to live. He's showing us how to treat others, how to treat our spouses, our children, our coworkers, our family in Christ. He's showing us how to have the right priorities, how to be concerned about the right stuff. Be humble, he tells us. Be concerned about souls, he teaches us. Be gentle, hunger and thirst after God. Be merciful. Be pure in heart. Be a peacemaker. And if you live this life, if you do all of those things, you will be persecuted. But here's the kicker. This is the good part of this. If you live this life, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. It doesn't end with a period. We keep going. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Whatever we endure in this life, whatever we go through, whatever we suffer for doing the right thing, it'll be worth it. This morning, if you need to be baptized into Christ, don't wait. This is the best life to live. You may be thinking, what are you talking about? I don't want to be persecuted. Nobody does, but we certainly want heaven. An eternity in heaven compared to a few years of suffering in this life, it's an easy choice. Choose Jesus today. If you have a need, come now as we stand and sing together.